Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
And welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in. I think it would be safe for me to say that most of our listening audience today has never been chased by a tiger. I think it's also safe to say that we haven't had too many encounters with life-threatening events, unless you call driving on the interstate highways a life-threatening event. And I did that yesterday for 9 hours, and it is. But if we were to come face-to-face with a tiger, and if we were to find ourselves in the midst of a potential 20-car pileup, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that our minds and bodies are programmed to respond to stress. At that moment, a lot of things change in us, enabling us to face a situation almost without thought. We see a tiger, we run quietly. We see cars out of control, we hit the brakes. Now for the bad news. For many of us, the fight-or-flight condition we find ourselves in during moments of fear and anxiety is the condition we're in right now, sitting quietly, listening to the radio. Sometimes life becomes a tiger. Sometimes just getting through the day is like facing a 20-car pileup. Let's talk with Dr. Timothy Jennings about anxiety and stress and when nature's gift of protection gets out of control. Dr. Jennings, this is a scary world. How can we live in it without constant feelings of anxiety and stress, both of which aren't all that good for our mental or physical well-being?
That's a great question, and I guess I want to first start with the premise. The premise of our show's title, that this is nature's gift. And I would question that this is nature's gift. It was not designed by God that we should see the tiger and experience fear and run. It was designed by God that we should see the tiger and experience a sense of love and go over and pet it, and it would have affection for us. So,
that's very true.
So
yes.
This fear that we have when we see the tiger is not part of God's design at all, and it's not a gift from nature. It is actually part of the infection that is destroying humanity. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they ran and hid because they were afraid. Fear and that need to survive and that survival of the fittest instinct is all part of the sin infection. When Paul talks about all nature groans under the weight of it, he's talking about the survival of the fittest instinct, this need to watch out for number one and protect self, which is just the opposite of our love for other people. Greater love is no man than he give his life for a friend, or perfect love casts out all fear. And so the premise that this fear response and need to protect self is adaptive and healthy, I think is wrong. And I think Christianity needs to step up and say, wait a minute, you know what? This is not part of our original design protocol. This is part of the short-circuiting of the system that's bringing death to the system. And what we're discovering—
I like what you're saying there, because we think that God somehow put in us this fight-or-flight mode, but he had to be somehow related to this thing, because he created us, and this fear and fight or flight mode is operating within us. Did God have any part of it at all in establishing that?
The fight or flight mechanism, as I read the scriptures, was not part of what Adam and Eve experienced prior to sin. Noticed prior to sin, when Adam recognized what Eve did, he did not experience a sense of concern to protect himself, he took the fruit to share in her fate. But as soon as he did, then they ran and hid because they were afraid. And as soon as God approached, he says, hey, not me, take the woman. And he's offering now to sacrifice Eve to protect himself. So suddenly this love that he was designed to operate upon without fear is completely changed to one of fear and need to protect self, so much so that the woman that he couldn't stand to lose a moment ago, he's willing to sacrifice to protect himself.
That's true. That's very true. But Dr. Jennings, the fight or flight mode saves people's lives. It can't be an all bad thing.
In this world today, there are two antagonistic principles at war in the heart and mind of every human being. There's God's original design. And by the way, the only reason there are two antagonistic principles is because of God's interventions or intercessions. As soon as man sinned, they ran and hid because they were afraid. If God would have left us to our own devisings, there would be no love in this world. But it's the movements of God in the hearts of man that bring us this conviction and desire for something other than ourselves. And so because God is working in our hearts to bring us his principles of love, we have these two antagonistic principles. And one principle, the principle of love, is, you know, I love you so much, I'll do whatever I have to for your health, welfare, and beneficence, including, if it comes down to it, I'll give my life that you might live, which is at war with that survival of the fittest principle, which says, I love myself so much, I'll do whatever I have to advance and promote and protect myself, including, if it comes down to it, kill you that I might live. Those two principles are at war in our heart, and this desire to protect self, to watch out for self, to survive at all cost is an infection to God's creation, is not the design template. Look at Jesus Christ. Greater love is no man than to give his life for a friend. This is how we know what love is, that Christ gave his life for us, and we ought to give our lives for each other. Revelation 12, verse 11, describing the people who are finally ready to meet Jesus when he comes, this is the way it describes them. These are they who do not love their life so much as to shrink from death. What does that mean? They're not watching out for themselves. They're not trying to protect themselves anymore. They're willing to give themselves in love for other people. That need to survive has been overcome by a selfless love for other people. That is what God is trying to bring us back to.
But if I see a tiger, I'm not going to walk up to that tiger and say, I love you, tiger, and, you know, here, have me for lunch. I'm not going to say that.
Of course.
There has to be something good about this thing.
No, of course you're not. Again, we're talking about where we find ourselves now. I was challenging the premise that this fight-or-flight response is part of God's design, and this is the way God wants it to be. It is not part of God's design, nor the way it wants it to be. Okay, we are all suffering under the weight of the sin, and I'm going to suggest to you there will come a day when we won't be afraid of the tiger. And I think that if you've read widely in history, you know that there were a group of martyrs back in the early 1st and 2nd century when Rome was taking Christians and putting them to the stake, and the lions and the tigers were attacking them. And the recounting of those people were that they had peace, that they weren't terrified. They were singing hymns as they were being shredded, and they weren't afraid. Now, what is that about? How could that be?
When you face, you talk about natural laws on this program a lot, law of gravity and whatnot. When you face a situation where natural laws are going to do you in, isn't it safe to say that we should use an unnatural law like fight or flight to get away from it?
We're not. Do you have to have terror or fear in order to have good judgment to not jump off a cliff?
No, you don't. No, certainly not.
Are there people? And there are people who do have no fear of heights.
Yeah, yeah.
There are people like that. They don't have fear of heights. Do they jump off of cliffs? No. We don't have to have fear in order to avoid making decisions that would destroy us.
I'm beginning to see this thing. Okay, I'm beginning to see where you're going with this. This is a different... Dr. Jennings, I've often said this about you. You stand in a slightly different place than most people looking at life, and I appreciate that very, very much. We have our phone lines open now. If you have a question or comment, listener, on this topic, as we deal with anxiety and stress in our lives, we've just realized that not only is anxiety and stress not supposed to be in our lives, but we need to look at it in a slightly different perspective, as Dr. Jennings is leading us here. Here's the phone number, 800-775-4673, 800-775-4673. And Dr. Jennings has brought into the studio one copy of his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for the Healing of the Mind. And we're going to have a drawing for this book at the end of the program. So of all of our callers that have called in and come on the air and talk to us about anxiety and stress. 800-775-4673. Okay, Dr. Jennings, if this is not what God had in mind, if we need to look at life slightly different or a lot different, how should we do that? How do we look at the tigers? How do we look at the 12 car pileups? How do we look at our families, our jobs, our bosses? Let's find out when we come back with Dr. Timothy Jennings in just a minute, so don't go away.
Here's your Daily Heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
Friend, we were originally designed to praise God. One of the best biblical treatments is a treatment of praise. Now, that praise might come in many forms. It might be singing a song. It might be out loud. It might be in your heart. It might be whistling. It might be humming. It might just being thankful for seeing the sunshine come up in the morning. Praise is a valuable treatment. We saw that David, when he felt down and out, one of the things he did was praise. This changed his chemistry for the good. It made him feel better. One of the biblical treatments I want us to focus on today is the treatment of praise to change our body's chemistry. Give a praise today.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
We live in a fast-paced, stressed-out world. Is there any way to escape life's intense pressure? Hi, this is Charles Mills, and I'd like to offer you some hope. From my office, I can look out and see the deep blue of the sky and the rich greens of the plants and trees. Scientists tell us that these colors foster a sense of peace and tranquility. Isn't it amazing that God would create the world with a built-in stress reliever for our troubled minds? In a similar way, our wise Creator has designed a spiritual refuge for us. It's found in taking time each day to immerse ourselves in His Word. I'd like to offer you a free series of Bible study lessons that can help you establish a pattern of daily Bible study. It's called Discover, and you can receive the first of these beautiful lessons by calling 800-775-4673. Color your world with messages of hope, peace, and assurance. Ask for Discover when you call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're talking about anxiety and stress. Let me see the hands of people who have anxiety and stress in their lives. Let me see them. Okay, all across North America, I'm seeing hands go up. And Dr. Jennings has told us during the first few minutes of this program that our anxiety and stress is brought about by an infection. Dr. Jennings, tell us again why that is something that you feel strongly about.
Well, because God's original design is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they ran and hid because they were afraid. So fear is part of that infection of sin. And as we love, and I can give some people examples. All those listening to us right now on the radio, remember a time in your life when you were in a moment of true other-centered love. You were in that moment where you felt the fullness of that love either another person had for you or God's love for you, or you were feeling that love that you have for some other person, whether it was your child, whether it was your spouse. And in that moment of real fullness of love, did you have any fear?
No. I was fearless. When I met my wife, I could do anything. I'm ready to do anything with my wife.
Yes. And this is the point. Perfect love casts out fear. Neurologically, we've discovered that the neural circuits of the brain where we experience this other-centered love directly turn off the fear centers of the brain. So as we experience true love, we actually turn off the centers where we experience fear. As we experience more fear, it actually paralyzes the centers where we experience love. They are inversely proportionable.
Phone lines are open, Dr. Jennings, at 800-775-4673, and there's a gentleman in North Carolina by the name of Sam who would like to talk to you. Sam, welcome to the program.
Yes, welcome. I love this program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Program, isn't
Jennings,
it?
You have some very great insights
Amen.
Into this.
Amen.
I was a Vietnam War veteran, you know, facing tigers and fear and that survival instinct and that fight or flight. It's absolutely fascinating, and you've turned my thoughts.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. Did you have a question for us today?
Well, I thought of just one thing. There is this, and I suppose it may be silly, but I think about sometimes God gives you enough sense to get out of a thunderstorm.
Right.
And that's, you know, to survive so that you can continue to witness to people. You know, you do have to survive. There's a instinct to survive, and God gives us that.
Do you have to be afraid, though, or can you simply say, hey, you know what? It is really makes sense. It's reasonable. Or do you have to have the fear in order to make judgments that are healthy for you?
No, the judgment, like you were talking about, is what's reasonable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Oh, you're wonderful.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for your call.
God bless you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, Sam has brought up an interesting point here. It seems, Dr. Jennings, that we're almost wired to have some of these responses to of anxiety and stress to events in our life. Are we wrong here in saying we're wired for this?
No, and that's where people, we're not wrong. We are wired, but that's where people mistakenly believe that God did this to us because we are wired that way. No, when God made Adam and Eve, he made them perfect and sinless without any fear and anxiety. And then he gave them an ability, told them, be fruitful and multiply so they could create beings in their image. Once they changed their nature and infected themselves with this fear circuit, let's say, their children, all of humanity, every one of us is born wired with this survival of the fittest instincts. We are wired to watch out for number one. It is inherent. It says in Psalms 51, we're born in sin, conceived in iniquity. And so children come into the world wired with fear and insecurity and self-centeredness, looking out for number one. And so this is an inheritance we get from our biologic parents, which go all the way back to Adam and Eve. This is why, this is part of the, or the reason, the defect of our first birth, why we have to be born again. And the born again or process is the process of actually, you know, it says in the metaphors of Scripture, dying to self. What it's talking about is dying to this need to protect self. It's talking about coming to love others more than self. That's what it is, taking out the heart of stone and putting in a heart of flesh. What's a heart of stone? A heart of stone is a heart that is not moved with compassion or empathy for other people. It's a heart that doesn't feel for other people. The heart of flesh is a tender heart. It cares about other people. That's what it's talking about, removing this heart that's only concerned with yourself and will stomp on other people, exploit other people to protect yourself, and putting in a heart which loves other people and will do for other people, including give yourself for others. But it is this love for others that actually overcomes this inherent biological wiring to watch out for ourselves. And only love. Love is the only power in the universe that can free us from fear. And this is why it says in Scripture, you know, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, and it's his love that sets us free.
You know, since 9/11, a lot of people in this country have grown fearful of people who look like the people who blew up the World Trade Center, okay? You get into an airplane, you sit down, and across from you is a guy in a turban and a beard. And you flash back to images you saw at 9/11, and suddenly you are fearful of that guy. That is what's hardwired in us, to have that fear. The Christians should have a very different response, am I right?
Yeah, and one way to help that is as you look over and see the guy in the turban and the beard over there, how about if that is your brother?
Yeah.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah.
How about is that the guy you've worked with in your office for the last 17 years and he's your friend and you had him to your house and you know him? Suddenly, that thing doesn't matter anymore. When you love the person and you actually care about them, then you're not afraid of them.
And some people... Are you telling me, Dr. Jennings, that we're supposed to love all people? All people everywhere?
Well, ultimately, that is what God's goal is for each of us, to change our hearts so much that we do. That is what he's moving us toward. I was in a church in New Orleans this weekend doing a program, and somebody came up and asked about, you know, at the second coming, about this fear thing, about not being afraid. He said, well, what about somebody who was, like, murdered by somebody, and after the person's murdered, the person who murdered them is repentant, like David after killing Uriah, and ends up in heaven. When they see that person for the first time in heaven, won't they be afraid of them?
David and Uriah coming together.
Yeah,
right there.
And I said, well, I don't think so, because number one, they won't have the same neurobiology of a fallen man, number one, and number two, they will have love in their heart for the other person. And I gave the example. I said, how about a father whose son did this to him? Would he be disappointed and afraid to see his son in heaven, or would he be rejoicing that the son who murdered him is in heaven? You see?
Yep, I certainly do. I'm understanding this thing, because that brings that Bible text that's centered around the second coming of Christ, where we will be changed. And I always thought, you know, mortal will take on immortality, but you're saying that the actual brain, the wiring of our bodies will be changed as well, right?
Not our characters, but the neurobiology that tempts us from within will be removed. That's true.
Okay. All right. Okay. 800-775-4673 is the phone number. We're going to have a drawing for the book, Could It Be This Simple? And we'd love for you to come on the air and ask a question, and we'll put you in the drawing for the book at the end of the program. I'm liking this because a lot of people think when Jesus comes and I go to heaven, you know, I'm going to be struggling a little bit with some of the feelings I have here because there are people I don't like that might be there, people who have done me harm who might be there, and I don't know if I want to live in the same galaxy as those people. You're saying that will not be an issue.
Well, I'm saying if you actually harbor that type of an attitude and develop a heart like that, you're going to be the one that's not there.
That's true. That's true.
Seriously, yes, this is why Christ said, you know, forgive. We must forgive because the same measure we judge others will be judged against us. Why? Not because it's some imposition, but as we judge others, we reveal the actual quality of our own heart. That's why it comes back to us, because that's who we are. If we're unforgiving, if we're grudge holders, if we're bitter, if we're resentful towards others, we want to see others pay and suffer, we're just revealing that our hearts are hard like rocks. They're not loving. They're not caring. That's why it comes back on us, because that's who we actually are.
So this forgiveness, this cleansing of our minds, of these feelings, has to happen prior to Jesus coming?
That's what the scriptures teach. We have to be reborn. We have to be renewed. The heart of stone has to be removed. We have to have the heart circumcised by the Holy Spirit. The law of God, which is the law of love, must be written on the heart. All these metaphors, the mind of Christ, regenerated in the inner man, dying to self every day, all the metaphors of scripture are about a transforming, healing, renewing process where we come to love others more than ourselves. And we can give some examples of scripture of godly men who've achieved this. Look at Moses at age 40. Using survival of the fittest, he murders an overseer, watching out for himself. And then watching out for himself, he runs and hides and runs away to the wilderness. Yeah. But then he spends 40 years with God. And after 40 years with God, something changed in Moses, such that when God offered to wipe out the people of Israel and start over with Moses, Moses said, "No, Lord, take my name out of the book." And so Moses is now willing to give his life to protect other people. Or Saul of Tarsus, who holds the coats while they stone Stephen and goes around beating and persecuting and imprisoning using survival of fittest coercive tactics. After his Damascus Road experience in 3 years with Christ in the wilderness, what does he say? "I would gladly give my life that my fellow Jews might be saved." Something has changed in Saul. He's become Paul, and he loves others now more than he loves himself. This is a transforming supernatural work that comes in the hearts of those who've come to know Jesus Christ.
My. Well, we are on an interesting journey today, listener. Are you enjoying this? I know that I am very, very much. Fear is not normal. It should not be in us. We are hardwired because we're sinful. We are hardwired to have anxiety and stress. We are hardwired for it. And it's an attitude. It's an attitude that Dr. Jennings says, you know, if you come and reason with God, if you sit down and get to know the God who made you, perfect love that will be infused in your heart will cast out the fear and along with it the anxiety and stress. And suddenly, we look at tigers very differently. We look at the guy sitting across from us in the airplane with a turban and a beard very differently. We look at people of other nationalities when they move in next door to us. We think of them very differently. And I hope, listener, that you'll start today to think of yourself a little differently as well. We have a break coming up here. Dr. Jennings on the other side. We want to talk more about this anxiety and stress and how we can deal with it. And I want to remind you that we have our phone lines open for your questions and comments at 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. We'll have a drawing for Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple, at the end of the program. Here's the number once again, 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
This is Max MacLean. What are the benefits of knowing the Lord? Listen to the Bible from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. From Psalm 103, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Be able to hear the Word of God today and every day. To hear more, go to radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
I'm sick of this. I'm sick of dealing with you. I'm sick of...
I work 6 days a week.
Who do you think you are?
Straight.
Don't you ever talk back to me again! You just shut up!
What a child learns about violence.
What are you crying about, little brat?
A child learns for life.
Central. We have suspects from earlier assault in custody. Male, 15 years of age.
Teach carefully. We're ACT, adults and children together, against violence. And if you're a parent or caregiver, we can help you teach your child how to rise above violence, not succumb to it. Visit actagainstviolence.org for details or call 877-ACT-WISE for a free brochure. Call today, 877-ACT-WISE, and stop violence before it starts. This message brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Psychological Association, and the National Association for the Education of Young Children.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Jennings talking about anxiety and stress. And our phone lines are open at 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, let's head out to New Mexico and talk to Claudia. Claudia, what's on your heart today?
Hello, Dr. Jennings.
Hello.
First of all, I'd like to say I've never heard of you and I've never heard this program, and I just happen to have it on today. And I just want to thank you for being there and for all that you do for your ministry.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask a question about your thoughts about a born-again Christian who can become suicidal.
Okay, that's a great question. Yes, and the reasons people become suicidal is because at that point in their life, generally most of the time people become suicidal, is because they're in a moment in which they're experiencing some form of pain for which they lose hope that they can ever be relieved of it. And suicide becomes the last escape to get out from under the misery and suffering. And it can be physical pain, it could be relational pain, it could be psychological pain, it could be spiritual pain. But the person experiences some form of suffering and torment of psyche, of body, from which they lose hope that they can be relieved. And that can sometimes result in changes in the neurobiology, where the brain circuits of the brain, we've documented very well which brain circuits are involved, are not firing well. And so they aren't sometimes even rational anymore, making healthy judgments at those times. But that can happen because as a born-again Christian, we are not impervious to the weaknesses of our human physiology. And so we can come under physical illness and disease, which brings on severe pain, which alters brain biology and can actually alter our normal thinking patterns.
Okay. And I just wanted to share with you, hopefully briefly, that September the 11th, 2001 is the day that I surrendered my heart to Christ. I had always believed in Christ since I was a little bitty girl. Had made several trips down the altar as a teen to give my heart to Christ, but never grew, didn't know that you could. I was never discipled. And on September the 11th, as I was watching television that morning, watching the news, I was terrified of what I was seeing. And as the first tower was coming down, well, actually before that, Jesus reminded me that surely he is coming soon. And as the first tower started to fall, I heard the word come. And it sounded like the voice of God in the room. I now know that it was the Holy Spirit. And I ignored his voice. And then, a few seconds later, I heard the word come again. And I was absolutely terrified because I was watching what I was watching, knowing that my life was not right with God. And now I'm hearing the voice of God calling me. Well, I ignored him again. God is so patient. And then, as the first tower had fallen, I heard come again. And I fell to my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, I know that you are all that I need. I give you all of the medications that I've been taking these years for depression and anxiety, for a mild bipolar disorder. I know that you are all that I need. And truly, in the twinkling of an eye, he healed me, delivered me, and made me whole. I went cold turkey, Dr. Jennings, off of all of my medications, and I never experienced one side effect. Is Jesus still about his Father's business today of doing miracles? Yes. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has been an amazing journey. However, Dr. Jennings, in the last about 3 years ago, I became severely depressed, primarily because of severe insomnia that my doctors were basically not able to treat, and I became suicidal. And I was very, very close to taking my life. I found a psychiatrist who was able to treat the insomnia, and it was a miracle drug for me to take to treat that. However, I have often thought, and I've asked our Father about that, I've said, Father, I thought that you had healed me, delivered me, and had made me whole. I thought you had done this incredible miracle in my life. What happened? What did I do wrong? And I've never really gotten an answer to that, Dr. Jennings, but my walk, my journey has been so amazing.
Well, let me intervene and say something about that. When Jesus was on earth walking amongst the people, he did many absolute miracles and healed people from many maladies and sicknesses, did he not?
Yes.
And as far as we know from the inspired record, what happened to all those people over the next 100 years? They all died.
Yes.
So even though he healed them, whatever sickness they had at the time that he healed them, he didn't give them immortality in their physical body. Their physical bodies were still subject to further decay and problems down the road as time unfolds. So even though God likely healed you, and I believe he did, at the time that you described, that doesn't mean that from this point forward you have a physical body that is the immortal body that we're going to get when he comes again, and that you are impervious to all future illnesses or problems that could come upon you.
I understand that. I guess what concern is, I thought, how could I possibly have returned to this state of depression and darkness, almost to my Egypt per se, when I had, as a born again Christian?
And I would suggest it's because that, as all of us, we all live in weak physiologies, and our physiologies are subject. Your DNA patterns and chromosomes did not get replaced, I don't believe, when you experienced the deliverance, when you gave your heart to Christ. What changed was that you had a completely new outlook at life. You had a greater sense of well-being, and you, if neurobiologically, you had the capacity to live in less fear. Your anxieties were markedly reduced, and because you lived in less fear after you came to give your life to Christ, it's changed neurobiologically. The whole stress response, cascade of inflammatory factors that react upon our brains, contributing to mood disorders and depression. So there was a physiological healing that came when you gave your heart to Christ and experienced his love, which cast out the fear, and
yes,
the fear which causes so much problems. And that's why I think you experienced such a huge mood stabilization and benefit from that experience, because you really had a real change come about you. But that doesn't mean that you were physically given the new body that we get when this mortal puts on immortality, and that you would be protected from all future illnesses, including some type of insomnia and other consequences that could happen to your brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I, what happened, Dr. Jennings, when I had to be rehospitalized because of the severe insomnia and because I was suicidal, as I was being taken away in that ambulance, I said, Father, this is not about me. I don't know. I'm returning back to a locked psychiatric ward to be treated for this, and I don't know what's going to happen. But all I know is I ask you to use me for your glory. And Dr. Jennings, while I was there, the people that he had me to pray for, the people that he had me to touch and to reach out to, it is something I would not trade for anything. And since then, I've said, Father, I don't think I'm ever going to go back to a locked psychiatric ward to be treated for insomnia, depression, whatever. But all I know is, should you choose to allow me to go, should you even send me, I trust you completely.
And I think that is
my life is not my own.
And that is the most healthy, beautiful attitude that you could take. And I just want to affirm you for that.
Thank you, Dr. Jennings, for your ministry. May God bless you. May he go before you in all that you do and use you mightily for his glory.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you very much. 800-775-4673. That's a powerful testimony there. 800-775-4673. We're talking about anxiety and stress today. And I like what you just said there, Dr. Jennings, that it sort of reflects on that verse in the Bible. I think it was Paul that says, I die daily. This is something you don't experience and then you're good to go for, you know, 50 years. That this relationship with God, I'm sure Claudia would agree 100%, that we need to daily look for healing. We need to daily open our hearts to God, let him do his thing in us. Am I right?
That's right, because our carnal nature, we are not freed from the carnal nature. We're not freed from that biological wiring that will tempt us with fears and anxieties until the second coming, when this mortal puts on immortality. Until then, yeah. Even though we've surrendered our heart to Christ, we have a daily battle with self to fight. The devil is always on the scene. It says in James, the first chapter, that we are tempted by our own evil desires or feelings. He's constantly there to try and stir up circumstances and situations that will inflame our worst fears and our worst insecurities that will cause us to doubt. And this is why we have to spend that daily journey experiencing Christ personally, that we can know that his love and his guidance and his interventions will supersede the circumstances of this world, and we can overcome our own fears and insecurities, not through our strength, but through our trust relationship with him.
Now, Dr. Jennings, we've talked to an ex-Vietnam vet by the name of Sam. And Sam, if you're still listening, thank you very much for what you did over there for us. We appreciate that. And we talked to Claudia, who had a real shaking up at 9/11, like a lot of us did. Now, these people were facing fear. Were they sinning? Is fear a sin, or when does it not be a sin?
No, fear is not a sin. Fear is a consequence of sin. We wouldn't have this kind of fear if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. But being born with fear is not a sin. For instance, imagine an HIV-infected man and an HIV-infected woman get together and have a child born HIV-infected. What did the child do wrong? Nothing.
Nothing.
No, he's not guilty for it. We're not guilty for having these problems. But that child born HIV infected still has a condition, if not remedied, will kill it. And that's the human condition since Adam and Eve. We're not born guilty. We're born terminal. It says dead in our trespasses and sin. We're born with a condition which unremedied will result in death. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death. We have a condition that needs healing, resolution, restoration, regeneration. And that only comes when we come back to the truth about God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And in that knowledge, we open the heart to him. We experience, as was just described, the outpouring of the Spirit, which regenerates and recreates us to love others more than ourselves. That is the future of the universe. It's a future of other-centered unity and love, all things under one head, even Jesus Christ.
You pointed out the change that came over Moses when, you know, at first he killed somebody and ran away, and then he came back and he was willing to give his life for the people he was leading. That was a transformation. That was huge. What are some of the transformations that we can expect, Dr. Jennings, and we just have a minute before our break, that we can expect as we cast out fear and replace it with God's love?
Well, I think we experience the same exact thing. We move away from worrying about all the day-to-day things we worry about. If we've an unconverted heart and come to Christ, we move away from practicing methods that exploit others, that take advantage of others. Heard on the news the other day about a woman who's been arrested and prosecuted because as the school secretary, she got into the computer system and altered over 70 grades to give her child a higher standing in the class, lowering some students' grades and raising others, raising her child's grades. Okay,
right.
And imagine the selfishness that she's willing to exploit in order to promote self in this way. When we come to love others more than ourselves, we wouldn't behave in ways like this. So our behavior changes not out of fear of getting punished, but because we love the other person, we wouldn't want to hurt them in that way.
Boy, The question we have to ask today to our listeners, Dr. Jennings, is, are you willing to love others that much? Are you willing to love that neighbor who has been evil to you? Are you willing to love that spouse who has abandoned you? Are you willing to love that parent, that brother, that friend who has done such awful things? Are you willing to love that person? According to Dr. Jennings, until you do, fear will remain in you. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Is your life stuck in fast forward? Are you doing more and enjoying less? Do you feel stressed out and tired?
If so, help is here. Speaker, pastor, and author Carl Hafner points the way to relief for the stressed out, worn out, and burned out. With humor and wisdom, Carl Hafner shows in his new book, Soul Matters, that it's possible to live a sane and balanced life in a world gone mad. But there's a catch. You must learn to cheat the lesser gods and clamor for your attention in order to honor the one true God. Find rest for your weary soul. Pick up a copy of Carl Hafner's book, Soul Matters, today. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. And full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Timothy Jennings. We're talking about anxiety and stress, and we are learning some amazing things here, Bible-based things that help us understand its source and how to overcome it. And I want to talk about that, Dr. Jennings. You say, you know, put the love of God in your heart and perfect love casteth out fear, etc. How do you do that? People have, you know, I pray, I go to church, but nothing seems to change. What are they missing?
Well, before I even say that, I really want to give the audience just a little bit more clarity on why the fear response is an infection and leads to death, and why the love is the principle that leads to life. When you gave the example earlier, you see a tiger and you run, that fight or flight response. We've all had that type of fear in our life. When that happens, it causes the blood to shunt out of our guts into our muscles so that we have the ability to fight or flight. But when the blood is out of our guts, or out of our GI system, we can't absorb any nutrients. We can't be growing physiologically in a state of fear. Only in a state of wellness and peace and health can we grow physically. So fear prevents physical growth. Not only does that happen, but when the fear centers of the brain fire, they paralyze the prefrontal cortex where we think and reason. So if you've heard of people who have test anxieties, they get there in the exam, they get so stressed they can't pass the exam because the prefrontal cortex freezes. Or maybe you've seen somebody at church that is going to get up and make an announcement. They walk up all confident, they look out at the audience, and suddenly they freeze and they forgot what they were going to say. What happened?
Yes.
The fear centers fired and it paralyzes the prefrontal cortex. So when the prefrontal cortex is paralyzed by fear, it impairs our ability to grow intellectually, to grow relationally, and to grow spiritually. Growth doesn't happen in the medium of fear, whether it's physical, spiritual, psychological, relational. Think about relationships where you're terrified. Those relationships don't grow. Growth only happens in the medium of love. Love is the medium of health. Love is the medium of growth. So That is the evidence, and we can look at that from our own lives and know that this isn't a reality and true. How do we experience that love in our life? This kind of love we cannot inherently create. We can experience it in two places. We can experience it, one, in a relationship with God, which requires us to investigate the evidence and know the truth. The truth will set us free from the lies about God that make us afraid of Him. And if our listeners have some doctrine, some idea in their head about God that scares them, I can tell you with absolute certainty that idea is a lie. It's a distortion. It's a falsehood, and it needs to be remedied, because to know God is to love Him. God is love, and perfect love casts out fear. So as you get to know God for who He really is, there is no fear. So we can experience it in a true relationship with God. The other place we can experience it is in relationship with people who know God. People who have come to experience that love in their life become conduits of that love to people around them. So we have the privileges as Christians to extend that love and love other people, so those who personally don't know God can experience the love of God through us. And then when we experience that love, love awakens love in our heart. And you think about your own relationships, audience, listeners. Think about the times that people have actually treated you with compassion, with grace, with gentleness. You knew that person really cared about you, was protecting you, was watching out for you, wanted good for you. What did your heart do to them? Did it not warm toward them? Were you not drawn toward them? You see, when people love us and we experience that love, it awakens love in our heart for them. And so those are the two places. We can't generate it of ourselves. We have to experience it with God, or experience with other people.
You know, a lot of Christian pastors and spiritual church workers are listening to this program week after week, and you just gave them marching orders, Doctor. You just told them that before you hold that evangelistic meeting, before you talk about the doctrines of the Bible, you better live a Christ-like life. Am I on the right track here?
There's no question about it. You notice even Christ Himself spent much of His time ministering to the needs of people, their physical needs, because this is a way to give of oneself for another. We actually have good science that shows when you are engaged in altruistic activities, volunteer services to help other people, you actually have better health and you live longer than people who don't engage in such altruistic services.
What's amazing to me that I've learned on this program, Doctor, that there are actual physical changes that take place in the brain when you do certain things. Your ability to be a kind and loving person actually increases as you are a kind and loving person, right?
There's no question about it. It just like any other system in our body, when you exercise the systems that you exercise get stronger. So if you exercise the capacity to love and care and give of yourself for others, those capacities grow. If you exercise fear, exercise watching out for number one, exercise thinking about all the possible things that could go wrong in the world, exercise the circuits of insecurity and doubt, well, those circuits get stronger and you create more and more. And over the time, it just kind of snowballs. And pretty soon you're living, hiding in your little hovel with the windows pulled and the blinds down and terrified of the world around you.
Just how much of this transformation from the guy or the woman who is with the blinds closed, living in the house, watching television, not venturing out, to becoming the person he or she really wants to be, how much of that is pure choice and how much of that has to be learned with some kind of schooling?
It's a combination of choice, of biology, experience, education, and education can be didactic, education can be relational. I mean, we're educated by our parents just by the way they treat us. They educate us about how we're to behave and how to act, but there's lectures, education as well. So it's all, the whole thing all works together to help us form our internal world, our belief system, and how we believe about ourselves and interact with others.
Let's put together a one-sentence marching order for that person behind the blinds who may be listening to this program or know someone behind the blinds, that this person can repeat over and over again as they try to emerge from where they have dug themselves into. What would be their marching order, their motto, as it were?
You know, that's a good question, because I don't give the same marching order to every person because the circumstances are different. And people are behind those blinds for different reasons. And so as a general overview, a place to start would be John 8:32. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So people who are hiding in those types of circumstances are doing so because they have a lot of distortions or misunderstandings or misrepresentations. They're believing things that have not been demonstrated or documented in reality. So I would start with stepping back and evaluating the truth and then following the truth where the truth leads.
I like that. And that can also be applied to the businessman in his car right now or her car traveling to work or back from work and just totally stressed out. Totally stressed out. And that stress is creating the fear and that fight or flight atmosphere that we find ourselves living in. The physiology and the psychology of being there is not good for our health.
And one of the truths people lose sight of is the truth of where we stand in this universe. One of the things that incites fear is when we lose perspective and we narrow our perspective and vision down to just the here and the now at this very moment. We lose perspective over the course of the lifespan, and a problem right now seems like, and think about parents, think about a teenager who has some problem with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they think the whole world is going to end because this boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't want to see them anymore and they're 15 years of age. And you look at that and go, this is ridiculous. I know it's painful for them, but it's not the entire world. And you know there's such a huge future and happiness for them in the future that the whole world isn't going to end. But to that teenager, they've narrowed their view down and it seems like this is the entire world. They'll never be able to get over anything. And so perspective, well, this happens to us as adults too. We get into a circumstance with a job that we lose. We get into a circumstance with finance problems. We get into a circumstance with a conflict with somebody at church, and it seems like the entire world is coming to an end. It is not coming to an end, number one, the entire world. And two, we lose perspective to realize that there is a universe way beyond what we see in here right now, that there is a heavenly reality with angelic hosts and worlds unfallen out there that are all on our side, that the agencies of God's kingdom are being poured out for to assist and help us in times of need. And sometimes we forget that and come to believe that we're in this all by ourselves, all alone, and that lie only discourages us further.
Oh, my. Dr. Jennings, I think you just opened some windows today. I think you just opened some doors. There are people listening to you right now who are saying, praise the Lord for those words of wisdom from Dr. Jennings. I want to invite you, listener, after the program, to head over to your computer, switch it on, and go to this website. Listen, here it is, www.comeandreason.com. I'm not surprised that you have that as the title for your website, Dr. Jennings. www.comeandreason.com. And if you have broadband, you can look at some of the videos that Dr. Jennings has done. I was watching some this weekend and enjoying them very, very much. You can also listen to the past Simple Solutions radio programs right there on his website. And they're listed there by titles, and you can find something that needs to find you. You can help Dr. Jennings bring God and healing into your life by listening to his words from the past. Dr. Jennings, this is wonderful stuff today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for hosting.
All right. And you know what? Sam, ex-vet Sam from Vietnam, you got yourself a book, Could It Be This Simple? We'll send that out to you. Dr. Jennings will actually sign it and send it out to you. We're so glad that you called in today. And I hope that you will find good information in this book as you have on this program. So thank you, Sam. All right, our time has slipped away. I know that I am refreshed, as I always am, listening to this program. And again, I invite you, listener, to head over there to www.comeandreason. There's even a DVD series that's available there called Healing the Mind by Dr. Jennings. It is a 6-part presentation that he made not too long ago down in Florida. And I challenge you to look at that DVD and stay the same. I challenge you to do that. You are going to be changed by listening to this. All biblical words, wonderful, wonderful perspective. Until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.